Winning Idea Podcast, helping you create bigger, better advertising concepts faster. I'm Rob Aspinall, and in today's masterclass,
while conceptual strength and speed are vital, it's just as important to work on our flexibility of mind if we're to be really good, high-performing creatives. And to help us become more agile in our thinking, what we're going to do here is we're going to stretch our conceptual muscles in this workout. The first exercise seems really uncreative in a way, but it's deceptively useful, especially when we get onto the exercise after this. It's called In Their Shoes. Take a brand or offer that's real, that's imagined, and picture your ideal audience. Now, you may have a lot of information on them already, and you may be able to bypass some of this if you've got a really good brief. But if you don't, this is a really good way to compensate. Let's say you've been given an info dump. Maybe there's a ton of information and you need to shrink it down to what's relevant. Maybe you've got really sketchy information on who your audience is and you want to give yourself more of an idea so that you can get into their mindset and therefore position your ideas in response to the audience in terms of who they are, what they think, and what they're doing with their lives. So picture your audience and ask yourself some or all of these questions. First of all, what's their age, gender, and or other demographics? What's their environment like? And what might be their typical day? If they're a student or an office worker or a mum or a child or whatever, the day is going to be very different. What do they think of us? And when we say us, we mean us as a company you may be representing as a creative. And what do they think of the brand? Are they aware of the brand or the product or the service? Do they care? Are they cynical? Like, you know, where they think, I don't really trust them. Or are they fans? Because that's going to affect the way we go about creating adverts. Marketing to a cynical person is much different and in a way more difficult to market to a fan who's already convinced. You've no convincing to do. You just need to put something in front of them in a way that engages them. What do they think of our competitors? Do they think that the competitors are really good? Or are they frustrated with the competition? What does their ideal outcome look like? Now, when we talk about outcome, we mean desired outcome in relation to this product or service that we're promoting. And what are their biggest challenges in life? You know, what are they up against? Because that could really inform what we do. You know, if we know what they've got a particular challenge that's relevant to us in some way, we can tap into that and we can find rapport and connection through that. What are their pains or frustrations? What's their idea of pleasure or fun? Remember, we're talking a lot about pains and pleasures. We really need to know what those are in order to tap into them, in order to magnify them. What else do they consume other than our offer? You can look at what else are they consuming. What does the creative for those brands look like? Can we mimic them? Can we work in the same spirit as them? Success leaves clues. If another brand's been successful in marketing their products, and they're kind of in the same ballpark in terms of the level or the type, then we can look at what they've done that's been successful and look at how we can build on that. We can also ask what's the bank balance like. Obviously, it's not what's in right now, but what generally do they earn? What kind of is their income level? Because of that, again, that's going to affect the way we talk to them, or it could do potentially. We could also ask what's their education level or place in society. Again, just asking little simple questions like that, we can start to think about who they are and what matters to them, and therefore what matters in terms of what we put in our campaigns. What do they spend their time learning? What knowledge or solutions are they seeking? This is a big deal if you're providing a solution to something somebody's seeking, and it's a no-brainer, it's an easy sell. What are they browsing for on the internet? Got to be careful here, but you know, generally speaking, you know, safe things are they browsing for on the internet that might be relevant to us? It may seem like an oddball question, but you never know. It could come into play and it could spark an idea. And what stage of life are they at? This is crucial, really. The stage of life determines what their priorities are going to be, and also what their pleasures are going to be, what their frustrations are going to be. And these are all things we can tap into and compare with when we're doing our creative ideas. One last question here. What's their level of confidence or self-esteem? Again, that's just going to help you pitch it at the right level, because if they're not confident people, if they're not extroverts, it's just going to affect your tone a little bit. Within reason, you've still got to kind of fit the tone of your brand, but it might just influence the way you speak a little bit and the images you show. So what this exercise does is, by answering these questions, we pull ourselves outside of our own views and biases, and it helps us to think in new ways. So we're no longer thinking from our point of view, we're thinking from the audience's point of view. That helps us to kind of create more focus when it comes to the creative process. What it also does is it bypasses any sense of loyalty to a brand. You can assume your audience is thinking or going to do one way, and actually they're not. You might think your brand is the best thing since sliced bread, but the audience might not do. If you remember in one of the questions earlier, we asked in their shoes is, are they cynical? Are they a fan? Do they care? Do they even know we exist? Because if they don't know we exist, we've got a job to do to tell them we exist. It's going to be a brand awareness campaign. If they're already a super fan, it's going to be, hey, look at this. This is the latest thing from us. It's what you love, blah, blah, blah. If they're cynical, you know, it's going to be a case of, well, can I change your mind campaign. Asking these simple questions, it just starts to push us down avenues. And A, we're going to be hitting the right mark in terms of message, but B, we're not going, well, where do we start? So in their shoes, we'll do this for you. Also, as we mentioned, this is a warm-up exercise for the next exercise in our agility workout. A bit more of a fun one as well. So this next one is a really interesting thing. It's called the Fresh Take on Familiar. This is the name we've given it. Now, a lot of things can be put in this bracket, and it's kind of a key to success, really, in advertising. So I want you to make the following phrase your mantra. And if you do this, you'll just never go too far wrong if you keep this like a little thing that's keeping you on track. The Fresh Take on Familiar is a very, very simple way of summing up the whole conceptual game. It does two things brilliantly together, and it overcomes a major problem. Now, the Fresh Take on Familiar is essentially based around the fact that there's nothing that's 100% original anymore. So creativity is about looking at what's gone before and giving it a new twist. So for instance, bread became sliced bread. That was a fresh take on a familiar thing. The petrol car is now evolving gradually into the electric car. The computer became the laptop. Point Break, the movie with Keanu Reeves about surfing bank robbers, was turned into Fast and Furious. The CD Walkman eventually became the iPod. The rom-com in recent years has become the Zomcom, a romantic zombie comedy. And Blockbuster, which used to have a dominant chain of video rental stores, eventually went bust, and now it's been replaced by Netflix, an on-demand streaming service straight onto your TV. So these are just, it's essentially the same thing, but it's just done a little bit different, a bit of a twist on all these things. And we can mimic that in the advertising world as well. We can take something that's familiar to the audience, give it a fresh twist, and we create that kind of engagement. And we'll look at that in a bit more detail here. Hey, just jumping in here to say, if you'd like to get your hands on a free video course, of course you would, why, who wouldn't? Well, we've got a free mini course especially for you called Ideas Unlocked. It'll help you tap more of your genius and get more from your creative mind. Also, you can produce bigger, better ad concepts with far, far less fuss. You'll find a link in the show notes, so just hit that link and grab it for free. Otherwise, if you like these little masterclasses we do here, and you'd like the full video experience instead, then check out our signature course, Ideas on Demand. It's basically a complete creative system loaded with 100 videos, all the audios, course book, workbook, and some awesome free bonuses thrown in. Again, you'll find the link for Ideas on Demand in the show notes, or simply head on over to thewinningidea.com. That's thewinningidea, all one word, .com. Okay, I'm back to the lesson. So, as humans, we have two conflicting needs, and this is a problem for us in general and in advertising. We have the need for certainty versus the need for variety. And this creates an internal conflict that's ongoing, it's constant. Everyone has it. There's no solving it outside of the advertising world. Now, we have the need for certainty because the familiar, the certain, it means support. It means safety, and essentially it means the survival of the species. We're kept safe enough, long enough to procreate and raise children and do our bit as humans. The need for variety, on the other hand, is all about the unfamiliar. We actually need the unfamiliar as well, because this means challenge, it means adaptation, and it means evolution. Now, if you don't challenge yourself enough, say physically, through your muscles, on some level they're going to wither and die. If you go to the gym and work out, you're actually creating, by challenging them, you're creating adaptation, and then you're getting stronger as a result. Just think about generally, genetically, you want to avoid a stagnant gene pool, and you do that through variety. So what's the problem here? Why is this a problem in advertising? And why does the fresh take and familiar work so well? Well, the problem is, if you have too much certainty, it's boring. And if you have too much variety, it's a cause for worry. So there needs to be this balance between the two, but because they're direct opposites, there's always going to be this struggle between the two. And it can also be a problem in terms of advertising, except we can resolve this conflict. So let's say you had an idea where there was no variety. That's going to be boring, and it's going to be invisible wallpaper. But let's say you had a campaign that was too abstract. It's almost like modern art, and you're thinking, I don't get it. Well, if there's too much variety, if there's too much abstractness, again, the audience can't relate to it. So the fresh take on familiar gets around that. It kind of resolves the conflict in a way. It pairs something that we're used to seeing with something that we're not used to seeing. The familiar, therefore, is kind of the anchor point. It brings context and certainty to the fresh part, whereas the fresh part brings intrigue and excitement to the familiar part. It's the best of both worlds, essentially. So it's the safe and it's the party together. It's kind of the boring bit that you need with the exciting bit that you need as well. And it's just a really easy way of thinking about how to do this. So we have an exercise on how to actually put this principle into play. And what we're going to do first is we're going to turn our answers from the in their shoes exercise into ideas, all by stretching our thinking a little bit more. Let's assume you've got a good understanding of the audience. Here, in terms of coming up with creative ideas, we're just going to ask three more questions. So question one, what is our audience used to seeing and experiencing in their usual everyday environment? So during a typical day at home, at work, or at play, say, you know, they're playing some sport or they're out socializing or whatever that might be. What is our audience used to seeing and experiencing? This will be our familiar frame of reference, the safe anchor point. Now, number two, what is our audience not used to seeing, doing, or engaging with in their usual, typical, everyday environment? This will be our fresh twist on that familiar experience that they're used to. So they're going to get certainty and they're going to get variety. But we can push it a little bit further in order to really ramp up the engagement levels and the disruption in our ideas. And we can ask a third question. What would look totally out of place in the audience's familiar environment? So essentially, we're taking number two and we're amping it up a little bit. You can say something different, or you can look purposely out of place. And that's what we'll be doing here. We'll be creating the disruption by just dropping something in that you go, what's that doing here? And therefore, I'm interested enough to engage with it and figure out what it is and then give myself a pat on the back. So let's take an example. You can't get drier than construction supplies. Business to business, it's not a sexy sell. How can we make it interesting? Well, the fresh take on familiar can do this for us. So what are they used to seeing? And let's assume we've done some in their shoes work. And we know that if you've ever seen these kind of adverts that usually dominate the landscape for construction and things like that, it's very dry. It's like people in hard hats pointing at things. Male models at like of a certain age in hard hats going, look at that over there. It's not the most exciting thing, but that's to our advantage because we can stand out a mile just by doing something a little bit kind of kooky. Not just for the sake of going, aren't we clever and creative. We're doing this for the reason of standing out and causing disruption. And we do this through the fresh take on familiar. So what are they used to seeing? In a few words, people in hard hats. Let's sum it up in just those few words. Now, what are they not used to seeing? What would you not see on a construction site or in their familiar environment? And what is nobody doing in the current advertising? Well, it's unlikely that they're doing, let's just say that. I haven't checked through all construction supply B2B adverts, but I think we can safely assume that we're going to have something that they're not used to seeing here. The answer? Performance art. We just chose this at random. You don't tend to see much performance art when it comes to construction supplies, either in the environment or in the marketing. So what would look totally out of place in this familiar environment? Well, how about this? How about we put the two things together? We put the fresh together with the familiar. And the answer, well, if you think about it, you've got the performance art, the dancers, and then you've got these hard hats. Well, what about if you had dancers in black lycra running around a construction site? That would look totally out of place, you know. So now you've got hard hats, you've narrowed number two down to dancers in black lycra running around a construction site. How can we combine the two as a fresh and familiar idea? Well, how about this? Giant yellow hard hats with black lycra legs running around a construction site, dancing, jumping, running. And you could do this either just completely fictional, or you could create a little flash mob thing where you get a bunch of people, dancers, performers, who just suddenly appear and then just start running around. But the idea is that rather than the people just doing that, we've combined the two. We've got the giant yellow hard hats, which they're used to seeing, so they belong. It's the legs running around and doing mad stuff that doesn't belong. But you've got a familiar anchor to it, so that when you deliver your punchline, they're going to get it. Otherwise, it would be totally abstract. And it also gives the campaign more traction as well, because it just stands out and you remember it. So potential strapline or campaign line we could have is, don't get the runaround, get a supplier you can trust. So there you go. This is just anchoring and explaining the idea. This is going to look completely different to everything else. And they're going to get it as well, and it'll be a little bit humorous and challenging them a little bit. You know, you've got the construction world, and now you've got this artsy-fartsy, if you like, to use that expression, and it's going to stand out a mile. Now, the client may go, well, okay, we've not seen anything like that before, but it's given you an idea that you wouldn't otherwise have had, and it's given you something that you can explain as well. You can say to a client, look, this is doing this job. It's given them something familiar, and it's given them something that's fresh. It's combining the two. It's going to stand out, and it's going to do it on purpose, purposely out of place. If you remember that phrase, a lot of this stuff we're talking about, you can actually parrot it back to people, and they'll find it very hard to argue with you, and you'll get more creative concepts through as a result. But what if we add another line? We could say, sick of the new supplier dance? Try a supplier you can trust. So if you get a supplier you can't rely on, you're going to have to get a new one. Now, that involves, especially if you're a big company, and especially for something like construction, that involves a hell of a lot of procurement. It's red tape, it's paperwork, it's a long process where everyone has to apply and go through this procurement process. Nobody wants that. You want a supplier you can trust that you can work with long term. It's going to cut the costs and the time and the hassle if you work in procurement. So there's quite a powerful sell, and it's a down-to-earth, robust business sell delivered in a non-businessy way, if you will, through the fresh take on familiar. That's a really simple way of putting ideas together. And you can try that and experiment with that in all kinds of different ways. Hey, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's masterclass. If you did, you'd be doing me a massive, massive favour by just leaving a quick review and letting other creative people know about the podcast. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe for future episodes, and remember to check out our courses too. There's the free one, Ideas Unlocked, and Ideas On Demand. So until the next time, thanks for listening and happy creating.